Previously in A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, David told Pippa Gloria had started divorce proceedings and proposed to her. But she still had doubts about being able to marry in the church. They decided to approach Irene's priest, young, and returned from the war with one arm amputated, in the hope he might be more broad-minded than their own elderly priest.
Now David heard her dialing the number Irene had given her. "Is that Father Dempsey? Good evening. My daughter Irene and her husband John Rowland are parishioners in your church." "Oh, you do? Well, that's who gave me your number." David noticed as she explained the reason for her call, she kept speaking in the singular. Never once did she say "we." He heard her answer one question with, "It's a personal matter of some delicacy." She then asked if she could see him tomorrow after midday mass. Another short pause. Then he heard, "Thanks very much, Father. I'll explain what it's about when I see you tomorrow." She returned to the sitting room, wreathed in smiles. "He sounds lovely," she announced.
"And nosy. You seem to be answering quite a few questions. But I didn't hear you mention bringing me along."
"I didn't think that would be a good idea. I preferred him thinking my visit has something to do with his parishioners, Irene and John. Otherwise, he might have told me to take my problem to my own priest. And you know what Father Cleary's like. He's always preaching about sin and adultery. I don't think we'd have any hope with him." They agreed to meet at 11:45 next day. "Oh, and by the way, we're invited to Irene's for Sunday lunch for the post-mortem after we've seen Father Dempsey." Pippa knew she wouldn't sleep until she'd told Craig of this new development. She was reading her library book when she heard his key in the door, which he closed gently, trying not to waken her. "It's okay, Craig. I'm awake," she called out. His head came round the door. "Did you have a good time?" "Went to the pictures. Saw Song of Bernadette." "Was it good?" "It was well done. But I find all that miraculous stuff about seeing the Virgin Mary a bit hard to believe." "That's because you never go to church." "Yes, yes, yes," he said, waggling his head as he bent down to give her a goodnight kiss. "Just a minute. I have something to tell you. It might even make you want to go to church tomorrow." He burst out laughing. "I doubt that. Unless you've had a vision of the Virgin Mary." "Don't be sacrilegious," she said, smacking the back of his hand like a little boy. "This is serious. David's heard from his wife. She's divorcing him and admitting to adultery." Now he plonked himself down on the side of the bed. "That's great. It'll take some time to go through, but then you and David can get married. In fact, you should get engaged right away, or at Christmas." "Why are you looking like that? Aren't you happy about this?" "Yes and no. What does that mean?" "We're not sure whether a divorcee could marry in the church." Craig's face said it all. "Oh, for God's sake." "It's for God's sake we're talking about it with Irene's priest tomorrow, after 12:00 Mass. Why him? If you must talk to a priest at all. What's wrong with your own priest? He's too much of a fuddy-duddy. Apparently Father Dempsey is young and home from the war with one arm amputated. We think he may be more broad-minded. You see, you're trying to make sure you get the right answer. But you know what the right answer is. What does his opinion matter? It's not his opinion that matters. It's the church's. In which case, either priest would give the same answer. But different priests think differently. You're saying it's up to the individual priest. But you and David are the only individuals who matter in this. Silence followed. Then, so will you come with us tomorrow? I'd better not. I might embarrass you by saying what I think. Okay, we'll see you at Irene's. Now, away you go. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I used to be fighting Messerschmitts at this time. Night, Mum. As arranged, they arrived early for midday mass next day at Father Dempsey's church. There on the steps stood Irene and John, looking particularly happy. Irene grasped her mother's arm. "Okay, what's all this about? You were very vague on the phone last night. What were you not telling me?" "Well, I didn't get a chance with that big bully," she grinned at John, shouting for his coffee. "I know, but he'll have to learn to take care of himself a bit more in the future, because I'll have more than one to look after," she said with a sly smile. Pippa's eyes and mouth opened wide. "Do you mean what I think you mean?" Irene's furious nodding and huge smile said it all. "Oh, my darling, that's wonderful. Why didn't you tell me on the phone?" "You had other things on your mind last night. Besides, I wanted to see your face when I told you." And the two women went into a bear hug, jumping up and down. David was puzzled by the reason for the women's obvious joy. So John told him Irene was pregnant, and David shook John's hand and said,
"Congratulations,"
while patting him on the back. Just then, they heard the bell announcing Mass, and the four rushed into the church, Pippa's arm round Irene. Mass over, the congregation filed out, each shaking the hand of the priest who stood in the doorway. When Irene reached him, she said, "This is my mother, Philippa, and her friend, David."
"Pleased to meet you,"
he returned amicably.
"And Irene will show you where the presbytery is. We can have a cup of tea and a chat there. It'll give us more privacy."
Pippa liked his thoughtfulness. On their way over, Irene again asked her mother to elaborate on why she wanted to see Father Dempsey. "Why were you so vague on the phone last night?" "Well, it's kind of tricky." Before she got any further, David, always straightforward, took over.
"My wife's divorcing me. And once it's gone through, we want to know if we could be married in church."
He circled Pippa's arm and pulled it into his side. "I should bloody well hope so," came from John. "You watch your language on church premises," Pippa admonished him. "What are your wife's grounds for the divorce?" asked the ever-practical Irene.
"She's accepted she's the guilty party. Adultery,"
he answered. "Well, that's okay then. There should be no problem. Between you and me, I've wondered about Father Dempsey and his housekeeper. I've been told she's very attractive." "Oh, Irene," remonstrated Pippa. "You can never tell. I rather hope I'm right," and she winked toward the supplicants. it would make him more sympathetic towards people who are legally free to marry. And he isn't allowed to. Here we are. Just ring the bell and the reputedly beautiful Anna will show you in. We'll see you at our place for soup and pudding afterwards. You're really good at both. Congratulations, darling. I can't believe I'm going to be a grandma. With Irene and John out of earshot, Pippa said to David, "The doctor said she'd never have children, so you can imagine why they're so thrilled."
"You'll make a lovely Granny Stebbins. Oh, soon to be Granny Mackie."
And he squeezed her arm. "Let's not get ahead of herself," she said, as she pressed the doorbell.
Thank you.